Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 52. This week, we are talking about Creed 2, the 7th, 8th Rocky movie?
Oh my gosh.
In the Rocky universe, I guess?
Yeah, the RCU, the Rocky Cinematic Universe. Yeah, we're back with a sequel, potentially a finale. Hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving, but we're excited to break this one down for you.
Of course. And as always, non-spoiler and spoiler talk for that. First up, we have very short news, short trailers. Let's kick it off with
a ridiculous.
Let's kick it off with a ridiculous name for a movie, the Birds of Prey movie from DC and Warner Brothers, starring Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, and a bunch of other female superheroes / supervillains. I'm not really entirely sure. Has a official name. It is called Birds of Prey (parentheses) The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
That is a mouthful.
How do you feel about this kind of title?
I feel like it's going to be hard for Margot Robbie in the trailer to say, what are we, some sort of Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn? Do you get that reference?
I do, because the little
what are we, some sort of Suicide Squad? It sounds like a Wes Anderson movie.
It does. That is a great way to put it.
I can just see some, like, smarmy narrator. Birds of Prey, The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn by Wes Anderson. We get it. You're quirky.
What if it actually is a Wes Anderson movie? What if he has somehow nabbed a superhero movie? How funny would that be?
That would be the worst timeline. I feel like this is not going to hit with audiences. They're going to be like, what the hell is this? But, you know, DC's throwing everything at the wall, seeing what sticks.
You know what? I don't think audiences really care about this anyways.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it. I kind of like that they're going a little bit weirder or quirkier with it in a way. I hope the movie isn't like straight quirk, like annoying kind of like this. But I actually kind of like it.
I did like the outlandishness and color palette of Suicide Squad in the trailer. I was like, wow, they're like going really fun and colorful and vibrant and wacky. But then the movie, the end product, wasn't very good. So let's hold out for a poster / teaser.
Yeah. Next up, Sony has revealed two dates for two Marvel projects in 2020. So they're really going full force into their SMCU? SCMU?
Sure.
Sony, yeah. Marvel Cinematic Universe, something like that. This is going to be Morbius, which is the Jared Leto, like, vampire Spider-Man villain movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then Venom 2, which is just absolutely slaying box office around the world right now.
Yeah, I remember talking about this vampire. Like, nobody cares about vampires anymore. When people think vampires nowadays, they think Twilight and lame. When I thought vampires when I was growing up, I thought Blade and vampires were cool. But now they're not. But give me Venom 2 all day. You and I, we're very confused about how much we enjoyed that movie.
they should just give Tom Hardy $100 million and just tell him to, like, take a camera, film himself walking around San Francisco. I almost said New York because he has a New York accent. San Francisco, just talking to himself and acting like he's Venom.
Yeah.
I would pay $20.
Cancel the vampire movie and just do Venom 2 and 2.5 or something.
Especially with Jared Leto. Does anyone want to watch Jared Leto just be weird on screen?
No.
Which is all he does anyways. No. He's weird. Like, he's also problematic.
Yeah, he's like mailing dead rats and condoms to guest stars or co-stars and stuff.
Potentially trying to get with underage girls too. It's like a whole bad thing. Yeah, come on. Next up, Donald Glover and Rihanna are starring in a new movie called Guava Island. This is directed by Hiro Murai, who directed the This Is America music video for Childish Gambino, and has directed episodes of the Bill Hader Barry TV series on HBO, as well as episodes of Atlanta, Donald Glover's other show. There is no, like, information about this outside of Donald Glover did a festival down in, like, New Zealand and played, like, the trailer for this, like a teaser trailer, which you can watch online, but it's like a, you know, like a pirated.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is Hiro Murai's feature film debut, and it feels like, weird because it feels like it's just something that would be like a music, like an artsy music video or something.
Yeah.
Also, Rihanna. I'm not a fan of
Rihanna at all. And everything I've seen her in, Oceans, Bates Motel for a season. There's been other stuff too.
I know she was in Bates Motel.
Yeah, she played Marion Crane, the long iconic, you know, white blonde woman who stabbed in the shower. I'm totally fine with the casting as far as race goes. But she's not a good actress, and it really took away from the season. And then Oceans, yeah, she was all right. What else has she really been in?
Battleship.
Oh yeah,
she's just been in bad movies.
Hasbro Oceans toy fine, universe. But... I know Donald Glover is your boy. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm interested. Donald Glover has done like a lot of weird.
Like weird stuff. Artsy stuff, but it still lands. Yeah. Like he's a genius.
Yeah, yeah. He's done a lot of weird stuff. He did something kind of like this for one song on like two albums ago. He did like this like short film for like the music video for it, and it was like kind of weird and confusing. And then he also released like this weird short film that like was about like absolutely nothing. It was just like him being depressed in like a beach house for like with all his friends or something. Huh. There's like literally no point to it. So he's just done weird stuff like that. And so I was just assuming this is what it was going to be. But then I read the article and it was like confirmed by Pitchfork that this is like a feature length movie. So I've
liked him all the way back from his comedy roots, you know, doing stuff on YouTube, Opposite Day, Bro Rape,
Derek Comedy.
Yeah. And is Atlanta funny? Like, is he funny in Atlanta? Because I miss him being funny. I think he's hilarious.
In Atlanta, he's more of like a straight man.
Okay.
But he is funny at times, but it's more so just like reactionary, not him being like making jokes or anything like that. I don't know. Atlanta's much more of a dramedy than it is like a straight comedy or anything like that.
Anyway, back to this. I guess let's wait for a teaser, but not too excited with the whole Rihanna name drop.
Last movie news story of the week. Monster Hunter is a movie that is happening. Its synopsis has been revealed. This is starring Mila Jovovich.
You like my spelling?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that.
Jovovich? The girl from all the Resident Evil movies. Yeah.
Yes. And being directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who also directed Resident Evil movies and is married to Mila
Jovovich.
The synopsis is this. An ordinary man in a dead-end job discovers that he's actually the descendant of an ancient hero. Sounds like Assassin's Creed. He must travel to a mystical world to train to become a monster hunter before the mythical creatures from that world destroy ours. Was this a book? A video game?
This is a video game by Capcom. Okay. It's got a ton of releases. My brothers played a lot of them. I and myself and three other friends just played through their latest release, which finally took everything into co-op online. Played it on Xbox One. I probably put 120, 150 hours in it, which is on the very low end for people who play this game. It's a really fun, grinded out monster battling game where there's really no little battles. It's just giant epic battle. It's basically like fighting the boss, but every 15 times. Really, really cool game, but nothing like the synopsis. The game is all ancient. You know, it's people taking down massive monsters. Sounds like this is a Marines / ancient Monster Hunter crossover where I read some additional synopsises. These monsters are coming into like LA and stuff, so.
I was going to say, I believe they released like a promotional picture for it last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was like, just like people in the army like sitting on a jeep in the desert, and people were like, "This isn't what the game was like."
Yeah, nobody asked for this. I did like Paul W. S. Anderson's movie Event Horizon. I thought Resident Evil 1 was okay, but boy, did they go off the deep end as he released them.
All 18,000 of them.
God, so very little confidence and hype in this one. Not being a fan of the game or knowing anything about it, what's your hype level, bud?
Zero.
Okay. Got it.
I don't care about it at all. I think literally every movie that Mila Jovovich has been in is bad, outside of Zoolander. That's my take. That's it for movie news.
I'm looking
TV news.
Oh, Fifth Element. She was good in Fifth Element.
Yes. Yes. TV news. The Game of Thrones prequel, tentatively titled The Long Night, that is only because George R.R. Martin was just like, yeah, it's called The Long Night, and no one backed it up, is set 5,000 years before the events in Game of Thrones and won't have any Targaryens. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, actually? I feel like the Game of Thrones current timeline is very, like, medieval and barbaric and ancient. Like, what is 5,000 years before that gonna look like, you know? What are they wearing? Are they cavemen?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. It feels like it's just gonna be very like the beginning of everything.
Like what's the most advanced thing in Game of Thrones? Beer, mead, like running water, I guess. Like not even running water. No, like they still have to go get like pots of heated water to take it back. Like, what is this gonna look like, you know?
I don't know.
And if it looks anything like this, you have to wonder what the hell have they been doing technology wise for 5,000 years.
True. And they in the Naomi Watts was cast in this, and it said that she was like a socialite. So that makes it sound like there's at least going to be some sort of high society type of thing going on.
There's political classes. Yeah. There's divides. There's communities. I just don't get it. If you would have told me 500 years, I'd have been like, okay, but 5,000 years before this? Is this the beginning of humanity?
Are you surprised that there's going to be no Targaryens?
I don't know. I haven't read the book, so I'm not like as into the lore on how long the Targaryen name has been around. Do you know anything additional about that? Should they be around at this point? Like, have they been around for 20,000 years?
I have absolutely no idea. Although, I think the key thing here is that it says it won't have Targaryens, but that means that there probably will be Starks in it.
Yeah. They didn't call out Starks.
Yep. The rumor has been kind of like the one Brandon Stark, I think that who or whatever, is going to be like the main character in this, or one of the main characters. So interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for more. Is this Weiss and Benioff, or is this is probably a new crew, right?
I believe it's a new crew.
Okay.
I think they had brought on like four or five
different they have enough on their plate.
People to pitch them different prequels, and this is one. I forget who it's from, but this is just one of them.
Yeah, man. As long as I don't milk it till it's, you know, annoying, like you believe Star Wars is right now and I believe Harry Potter is right now, I'm into it. Yeah, I know. Shots fired.
All right. Speaking of George R.R. Martin, though, the first 5 minutes of his series on sci-fi, Night Flyers, is out. I believe you watched this. I did not. I was busy watching something else.
Oh, that sounds shady. I'm not even going to ask what you're insinuating there. I did watch it, and it just, you know, it looks like a thriller in space. The ending of the first 5 minutes seemed interesting. A main character offs herself, and I thought she was the main character of the show, so I think that must be a way fast flash forward, and then we see what happened up to that event. It looks pretty good, kind of like Event Horizon, and GRM, you know, everybody you love is going to die, so I think I'll tune in for the first couple here. You remember the trailer? You and I were both really into it.
Yeah, I remember watching the trailer and seeming fairly interested, but also being very worried because it's sci-fi.
Sci-fi, yeah. Sci-fi used to be respectable.
Sci-fi's like the adult CW, feel like.
Yeah, or that just like the more nerd person CW. Like if I enjoyed like shitty guilty pleasures, I'd watch sci-fi a lot. But like, there's just so much good TV, I just can't put time into it. Although Battlestar Galactica was on sci-fi, and I really, really liked that show, and it's a well-respected classic.
Interesting. So it doesn't sound shady. I was watching Black Klansman.
Okay.
I watched that.
How was it?
In the day today. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Probably up there for favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, I remember we were going to review it. We just didn't get around to it.
Yeah. All right, that's it for news. So we got three trailers for you guys. First up is The Lion King.
Okay, I'm done.
The live action... they're calling it live action. It's all CGI. Remake from Jon Favreau, starring Donald Glover, Beyonce, James Earl Jones, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Keegan-Michael Key, Billy Eichner, all those people. And Seth Rogen, most important one, I think, for Pumbaa. So this is just a short one, and I saw a video basically just comparing like this versus the footage from the actual Lion King. It's like literally identical. Yeah.
What do you think about this and the frickin', what was the freaking other one they just did that Favreau just did? Jungle Book. The Jungle Book, it was very similar. They changed a couple of things. There weren't as many songs. I know this one isn't going to have Be Prepared, the Scar song that was kind of creepy and had hyenas doing the Nazi walk. How much do you think of like a liberty? No, they really did. It was controversial. As controversial as when Simba lays down, you can see the word sex spelled out in the dust in one scene.
Do you think they're going to have Nala give him the fuck me eyes?
The come bang me. That's what I'm saying. It's like, is this going to be an exact shot for shot remake, or how much creative liberties do you think they're going to take? Would you rather see a shot for shot remake, or would you rather see something fresh and new? I mean, it's such a classic story. I'd actually be fine with a shot for shot remake.
The thing for me is I do think like these movies look really cool. Like Jungle Book looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't think I'd watch Jungle Book in like forever. And I don't think Jungle Book is as loved as Lion King is.
Sure.
So, like, watching that, I couldn't tell you if it was the same as the animated Jungle Book or if it was different or what was going on.
Would you be able to tell here, though? You'd probably know Lion King a lot better.
Yes, I would know here. And so, while it is impressive, like, the CGI that they use, it looks very realistic. I don't know if that's, like, enough for me to be like, wow, I like, love this movie. I really, like, want to sit down, watch it, and, like, be taken away. But I don't know if that means I'm going to like it just because it looks slightly different. I think that what they need to do is, you know, add a little bit more focus on maybe different things as opposed to doing literally everything the same.
Yeah, it'll be a mix. You know, they'll have really great throwbacks to the original, but they've got to take it into a different direction. The fact that they already announced that they're not going to have Be Prepared, I think the songs are going to be new, but at the end of the day, everybody wants to hear I Just Can't Wait to Be King. They want to hear Circle of Life. Yeah, they want to hear those classics, so they'll find a balance, I think, and Disney's going to make gobs of money here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? That said, I do feel like this might turn into the one that people watch, like, at home in, like, a couple years from now. It's right. Like they don't go back and try and watch the original.
The cartoon.
They watch this.
Yeah. And with that being said, I think, like, Aladdin's going to be the one that people start to get tired of this. And be like, okay, we've seen enough. Let's start making some new, fresh live-action movies. Quote-unquote live-action movies, Disney.
Ooh, that's actually interesting because it goes, I think the release for these three is Lion King, Aladdin, then Dumbo.
Yeah. Which, and Dumbo looks pretty different, but...
And I'm pretty sure, like, that's, like, the amount of interest in those or the amount of, like, love classically for those is, like, it's, like, a perfect decline between those three. It goes in that order. So what they should have done is planted, like, Lion King in between.
Yep.
Because people would have been like, oh, we'll go see Aladdin. And then they might have been like, but we got to see Lion King. So then they'll go see Lion King, be like, love it. And then be like, we'll give Dumbo a chance. And then Dumbo will be weird. And then it'd be done.
The real question is, who's your dream cast for Ariel in the eventual upcoming Little Mermaid live action film?
Ooh. This isn't something that I've thought about.
I think I can pick. I think it's Sabrina, the girl who plays Sabrina for you.
Okay.
No, I guess they probably need to be redhead, but
yeah.
Anyway, we're way out of line here. We gotta move on.
Actually, you know what? You know who I think would be good? Anya Taylor-Joy.
From
Split and Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, yeah, she's got the curves to figure that out.
I think she can do it. Yeah.
Hey, okay. Listen. Next. Ariel was curvy. I'm not gonna. Well, actually, whoever the villain was in that movie was way curvier. What's her name? Ursula. That's my girl.
Ursula.
Yeah.
Ursula, baby. Next up is the trailer for Once Upon a Deadpool. Deadpool's PG-13 recut for Christmas being released limitedly in December. Basically, the framework for this is just they're turning it. This works good because it's Deadpool, so it's meta. It's supposed to be meta, so they can acknowledge that they're making it toned down, even though it's a cash grab. Although they are donating, I think, $1 for every ticket sold to like a cancer charity.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. That's good. But the framing is basically making fun, like kind of using like the Princess Bride, where they have Fred Savage in bed and Deadpool is reading him like the story of Deadpool 2. Except Fred Savage is an adult and is aware of what is going on.
Yep.
I actually think the trailer was funny. I liked it.
It was. I don't think you or I are going to go to the theater to watch PG-13 version of Deadpool again, but maybe this hits with non-teens that didn't get to see it in the theater the first time because their parents wouldn't let them or something. I don't know.
I was going to say, I can't imagine people like us, or really just anyone that like went and saw Deadpool 2 wanting to go see this in theaters. I'll watch it when it's streaming.
Or just give me the the compilation of what's new in the Fred mm-hmm. Savage scenes on YouTube or something.
Yeah, because I can't imagine the actual story is going to be that different or all that.
No,
that
it's just neutered, less cuss words, less risqueness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny trailer. I'm sure it'll hit with kids, but you and I will watch a YouTube compilation, I think.
Yeah. Then the last trailer here is for the Lego Movie 2, the second part. I think we had a teaser for this a couple months ago, but this is a full-length trailer. I am out on this.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually started watching it, and I just figured it was the teaser, because most of it looked the same, so I just jumped through it and showed a couple more, more of the villain, who I think is mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah,
sounds like her. It looks fine. It looks like more of the same of the first one. You're totally gonna watch this, but why are you immediately out? You liked the first one and the Batman one, didn't you?
I did like the first one. I did like the Batman one. I didn't go see them when they were in theaters. I waited to watch them because I was like, I'm not sure about this. And then when I watched the first Lego movie, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
because it was it was like another thing that was like fairly meta. Actually pretty incisive, like societally attacking like actual culture, as opposed to just being straight kiddie humor.
Yep.
But this trailer just kind of gave me like it's just all gonna be kiddie humor, and I don't know what new they can do, because like we know it's like set in this, it's about like the little kid playing with them, and it's gonna be about like the sister and the little brother playing with these toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know where like the symbolism or the juxtaposition of like the real world versus like the toys playing together is going to be, and how this just like end of world scenario or whatever the hell it's supposed to be is going to be as interesting as the plot was the first time.
So you're afraid it won't have that below the surface adult humor that the first one had, a little bit more of a commentary, more of like a Despicable Me versus something like the Lego Movie number one.
Yes, that's what it feels like.
Or Minions, where it's just all trash, fart jokes, poopy jokes. No, I think it'll be fine. It'll probably take a 20% hit on the original Rotten Tomato meter, but I think it'll still be fun. I'm 50-50 on it.
We'll see. That comes out next year. That is it for trailers this week. That means it is time for Creed 2. Creed 2. Sequel to Creed, which was a reboot of the Rocky universe centered around Apollo Creed's son, Adonis, played by Michael B. Jordan. It came out to $55 million worldwide in its first weekend opening on a $50 million budget. Holy shit, what? Ralph Breaks the Internet cost $175 million?
Wow. Holy Jesus.
It costs over three times what Creed 2? Oh, that is 3.5 times the amount.
All those computer graphics, all those Disney properties sneaking in, the cameos of other characters. Yeah.
That does not make sense. Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, so opened pretty well for a first weekend up against the Disney film. 81% of Rotten Tomatoes. Average rating is 6.9. Audience, 89% liked it. Consensus: Creed 2's adherence to franchise formula adds up to a sequel with few true surprises, but its time-tested generational themes still pack a solid punch. The original had 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, average rating to 7.9, 89% liked it. This one brings back Ivan Drago and Ivan Drago's son. Ivan Drago infamously killed Apollo Creed in one of the Rocky movies. No
Creed
idea 4. What Rocky movie it was.
She's Creed 4, Rocky 4.
and then, Rocky came back and beat him, and basically it's about him training his son to basically get their name back, get their fame back in their country, and all that jazz by beating Adonis Creed. So, what did you think about Creed 2?
I'm gonna say it right away. I liked it better than Creed 1.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think it had a lot of heart. It handled bringing back a villain that could have been really cheesy and goofy really well. Made me empathize with him. Made me at times root for him. And I think it's a perfect wrap up to this series. I'm hoping they don't make a third one, but deep down inside, I know they will.
Wow.
What about you, man?
The first Creed is almost like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Wow.
And this did not come anywhere close to it.
Do you think it's because you went in with high expectations, or do you have a laundry list of criticisms for it? This will be good because I really liked it and you didn't.
Yeah, no. I don't think it wasn't high expectations. It was just, I don't know, it just didn't pack the same punch, huh, as the first one did. I think because it kind of lost its focus on like what it wanted to specifically be about, and sort of the first one was about, you know, Adonis Creed wanting to like live up to his or create like his own name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is about him wanting to get revenge in a way.
This one, I think, is, yes, it starts with that, but then it's more about building his legacy. Because yes. He gets the win, you know, he gets wins, but he doesn't feel like a winner.
And Rocky's sort of side plot, B plot, didn't feel that great. It kind of felt just, like, separated from everything. They tried tying it in where, like, you know, Adonis Creed is supposed to be, like, his only family kind of thing is mm-hmm. what they kind of made it seem like in the first one. But it felt weird. I did really like Ivan Drago and Victor Drago, I think that was his name. Mm-hmm. I liked that a lot. I wish they spent more time with them. I wish we got more time with those two because I was very fascinated by that because, you know, it's all about, like, you know,
yeah.
His son was just basically brought up just to beat the shit out of people. No love, no anything. It was just like he's just training all the time. But we don't get much more than
yeah,
that.
I was surprised how much I really liked those two. And you expect to just see a brutal killing machine and you're, oh, look at this prick. But by the end of the movie, you're like, wow, there's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of emotion here. There's a lot of... You understand why these quote-unquote villains are doing what they're doing. You're kind of like, shit, I don't know who I want to win this fight.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wish that they did that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Wish we got a little bit more even time with it. And I think, honestly, I think like the Rocky side plot might have been the part that detracted from letting like the villains get their due amount of time as well.
See, did you see Rocky Balboa in 2006?
I did not, no.
So they're trying to tie a lot of things together from that, and I think they're trying to put a bow on that, on this universe. Whether or not they're going to do another one, we can talk about later based on spoilers, but I think that's just trying to that's what they're trying to do, is hand this thing off. This is his legacy now. It's not about Rocky, so whether or not you felt that was a good call, it's up to you.
I do agree with you that I was a fan of them not making like things cartoonishly or making the villains cartoonishly, like I believe the original Rockies started to do at a certain point. I respected that. There were still certain things where I was kind of like, let's pull it back a little bit. Let's, you know, stop being so ridiculous. There's actually there's a moment in like the final scene where like the Rocky theme plays.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started doing it, I was like, it kind of just like pulled me out of the moment because I feel like this movie wanted to be less serious than it should have been or than it was, considering the themes that were at play and like kind of like, you know, how intense these fights were. So like that I don't know, it kind of pulled me out a little bit. I wish they would have just gone full force drama like I think the first Creed did, where it wasn't too obsessed with being kind of like, you know, crazy, not uplifting, but like heartwarming, kind of like triumphant kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought it was really dramatic. There were times where I was fighting back tears, the wife was fighting back tears. I thought they did a better job, I guess, than you did in balancing the hype level of the fights and the drama behind the scenes, making you really care about these characters on both sides of the rings. Yeah, I think the villains will be really memorable. All the characters I'm really rooting for, even the villains. I can't tell you who he fought in the last one. I don't.
Pretty Ricky Conlon.
Why?
He was going to jail.
Okay, yeah, that's right. He was going to go to jail and he needed money, right?
basically, he wanted to get one last fight because he was the champ, and he knew he was going to jail. And then the one dude like broke. I think he punched him in the face at like the weigh-in or something. He broke his jaw, so he couldn't fight. So then they brought on Adonis Creed.
So I've seen Creed one time, Creed two obviously one time. In 5 years from now, if I didn't watch them both ever again, I think I'd really remember this one more, just because of the villain and the conflict and the dramatic things that happen, which we'll talk about soon.
Three more things for me.
Sure.
Plot-wise, Tessa Thompson, I liked her a lot in the first movie. I felt like they, again, she was just another thing where we were trying to like give her like this arc, give her this, you know, this emotional center of the film, but they didn't really develop it enough. Like, we'll get into spoilers, but they like mention some stuff and they just kind of like drop it out, leave it there, which isn't the end of the world. But and then technically, this is a different director. It's Stephen Caple Jr. as opposed to Ryan Coogler for the first one. Coogler was still a producer on that, and you can definitely see sort of like his fingerprints on the film. But the camera work, again, not as good. Obviously, the first one had amazing one take, single take boxing match, which was like a standout, absolutely incredible. This didn't have that. I thought the camera work just wasn't as good. It wasn't as inventive. It was just kind of like, this is happening. We're not being sort of creative with it.
I thought there were a couple creative ones where you look like you're getting boxed at, like Drago's coming at you in the corner. Yeah, I agree. It wasn't as good, but I was surprised how close it was. You know, from this guy's second effort, I believe.
There were a couple times where I was like, oh, nice. It was just sort of the fact that they didn't do it consistently. It was only like, it was like, oh, like I thought of this one thing, so we can do it this one time, but the rest of the time it's just going to be standard shots. Soundtrack and sound design, absolutely incredible, though.
Yeah, boy, my God. The sound, the fights, the punches.
My ribs hurt.
Yeah. I saw this in a pretty much packed house, and every time somebody got punched or in the face, in the gut, in the corner, when they fell, as they just continued to get beaten to a pulp on either side of the ring, the audience was gasping, cheering, clapping. The sound from the punches, even to most of the score, I really did like. They were teasing the Rocky theme and even some of the more dramatic moments. And some of the fight intros were just so, so hype, aside from one, which we'll talk about soon. I don't know if you'll agree with what I'll say later. But
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And
sound,
I do.
Incredible. I saw it on the Dolby, I think Dolby IMAX, Dolby whatever, Dolby Atmos. Boy, incredible. Awesome stuff.
I don't have anything else non-spoiler to say.
What about the performances? Rocky, Creed, Tess Thompson, Drago Jr., Drago Sr., anybody really kill it? Anybody drop the ball for you?
I think Michael B. Jordan was outstanding. He had a couple scenes, even one scene sort of like in the earlier part of the movie where like it kind of got to me. Just facial emotion. He wasn't even really saying anything.
Yeah, he shows intensity, fear, emotion, sadness, like he's really good. Yeah. Rocky, I thought, was fine. He played the old mentor really well, of course, just like he did in the last one. He's just, I'm getting that ring. What are you fighting for? Yourself?
He did his thing. Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren, I thought he was great.
Pretty good, yeah. You know, he was cartoony in the old ones. He plays cartoony tough guys now in the movies he's in, but he said a lot without very many lines in this movie.
Yeah, and an impressive range within, you know, limited amount of time to actually say anything or make anything feel known outside of just trying to make him feel like, you know, knock him out.
Yeah. Thing. Tessa Thompson, whatever, fine.
She was fine. Yeah. Again, it just comes back to her not having enough to do or them kind of dropping the ball on her arc.
Yeah, Tessa Thompson as the supportive, dramatic core of Creed's heart, fine. Tessa Thompson and her side plot, I didn't like.
Yeah.
Drago Jr. barely said a word, but he was just an absolute unit, very intense, very imposing.
Oh my God, that dude is gigantic. Without saying much.
Like, he was like the Mountain from Game of Thrones 20 years ago. Like, he's an incredible human being.
I'm pretty sure like Michael B. Jordan is like 6 feet tall, 6'1".
Yeah.
That dude was huge.
If I was Michael B. Jordan staring that thing down, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
Is that even legal? Are they even the same weight class?
There's no way.
Or did they just let, like, this slide?
There's no way.
He was unreal. Like, who is? I want to see this guy in more stuff because he was just like a unit, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Anything else?
No. I'll give my weekly review.
All right, go for it.
Creed 2 is a near-perfect follow-up and potentially finale to the Rocky universe. Emotional performances from the entire cast, direction and sound done so well you can feel every punch, and a compelling villain culminate to one of the hypest movies of 2019. Rating A.
Whoa,
dude,
all right.
I loved it. I wanted to fight somebody when I walked out all of that right. theater.
Yeah, that's true. After watching any, like, the first one or this one, I just, like, want to get into boxing and I want to just beat... I myself would get beat up, but I'd be like, yeah, it felt good.
Yeah, one other thing that took me by surprise is I didn't really know where the story was going in the first act, and then, like, something in the second act happened, and I'm like, where's this going? And then I kind of figured it out, but you think you know where it's going pretty early, but it really goes a different direction.
Hmm.
Did you call it all from the trailer, Mr. Smarty Pants?
Well, I just had a feeling that it was going to be the way that it went.
Okay.
I give it a B.
Oh, okay.
I give it a B. Just a little bit let down. It's a step down from the first one, which I think is a near-perfect movie. A little bit too much action going on in the side plots and not enough focus on what should be one of the main plots with the villains.
So I think it was a 2-hour and 10-minute movie. Do you think it should have been longer?
No, I don't think it should have been longer. I think they should have condensed the side plots with Rocky and Tessa Thompson and given more time to Drago's.
Then I feel like you would have complained that the side plots weren't fleshed out enough.
No.
Okay. I feel you. All right. A and a B. So still above average for you. Very above average for me.
Yeah. That is it for non-spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening now. I am not sure what we're doing next week. We're gonna have to figure it out. It's probably gonna be a movie that's been limited release.
Or Wreck-It Ralph.
Or Wreck-It Ralph, which cost $1 billion to make. Spoilers starting now. So speaking of you thinking you didn't know, you know, it kind of kept you unsure of where it was going. I was surprised that it got into their first fight so quick.
Yeah,
I was surprised about that.
Opened with the heavyweight champion battle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which I believe he lost at the end of the last movie. Is that correct?
Yes, he lost at the end of the last movie, sure. But he basically, like, yeah, it was like his coming out party because he did so well.
Yeah. Was he fighting the same guy? It was a different guy, right?
No, a different guy. Okay. The guy was in jail.
Yeah, that's right. I remember being like, wow, they're just opening with essentially the biggest fight ever, as high as you can go. Interesting.
Yeah. So I was surprised by the fact that they did it so soon, so quickly. But like once he lost, I knew like, well, they're going to fight again. There's no way they're not going to fight again.
Wait, who? Did he fight him again?
Creed and the Drago. Him, not the very first one.
Oh, yeah. So I was surprised they went right away with the heavyweight champion of the world. He immediately wins, which should have been a bigger moment than I feel like it was. But then, yes, of course, midway through the movie, he fights Drago, kind of technically loses. Then I was like, he was DQ'd. Got it.
Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, the fact that you just said that actually makes me respect this movie a little bit more, is the fact that they start out with that heavyweight championship fight.
Yeah.
And it's not even like that big of a moment.
Yeah.
Because in reality, in Adonis's Creed's sort of character arc here, it isn't a big moment to him.
Yeah, he's like, why don't I feel like a champion?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so nice. I actually respect that. Yeah. But I was surprised how fast they got into the Drago fight, because that was basically the beginning of the second act, end of the first act.
Yep.
But I knew like they were gonna fight again, and it was just gonna be about Michael B. Jordan training himself up again. I do like how they flipped it, flipped like the training at least, where now Drago is training in a gym, whereas he was like training on the streets of Ukraine before, and now Rocky's taking Creed out into the middle of the desert.
Yeah, that
to
that looked intense.
Yeah,
they're just beating the hell out of the guy. That was a pretty badass training montage, in my opinion.
Somehow training montages just always get me going.
Like,
I absolutely love them. This one, I don't know. I don't think this one was as good as the first one in the one in the first Creed, because the one in the first Creed, he's like sprinting down the streets of Philadelphia with like just hood dudes riding their like motorbikes and ATVs down the streets, which do people do that? I didn't know that people rode
those
off-road bikes in the middle
in
of
Philly.
The street. But there's just like this hype track going, and then he's just like standing in a circle doing like all the like the weird little like shadow boxing. I was like, oh my god. But this was still sweet. I loved when he collapsed, like when he's chasing after the car, and then he just gets up and keeps going.
And then that ties back to the final fight where he just pounds the freaking. We'll talk about that later, but that was like such a cool moment. That plus the first intro in the first fight against Drago, I thought was really badass. His intro at home, at his home court, when it was like black and white lights only, it was just like
he's walking, I was like,
oh my god. But then he came in Ukraine, and it was really lame. And that brings me to Tessa Thompson's musical numbers, which I thought were just awkward.
That was so weird. That was such a weird thing to do. And I couldn't figure out until they started, like, walking down the aisle if she was actually there or if that was, like, supposed to be, like, juxtaposed against her, like, back in the States singing at a concert or something.
Yeah.
She, like, wasn't there to support him.
And I get it. Like, he said he needed her this time. He left her out of the first time. He shut her out. So that's why she's there. But I was way less hyped during some lame-ass lip-synced song by Tessa Thompson versus the first intro.
They in the first one, they just have her sing like the one song where he like goes to like watch her when after he like first meets her the one time, and it's like much better because it's like about that basically. It sounds, you know, like some like I'm horned up or something, but it's basically like set against them like having sex after he like goes to see her. So it made it feel like a little bit better and tied in, whereas this was just like. Like, she wouldn't be doing... Like, that wouldn't happen. That was just, like...
Weird. Do people do that? Do they allow live performers to intro boxers?
They don't.
Maybe in WWF, but...
And that's another thing is... With Rocky and with her... The first fight, they made it seem like they were very against the fight. And it didn't feel like when he, like, told them that he wanted to do the second fight that there was much pushback against it. It was just kind of like, oh, he's gonna do it.
Yeah, she didn't really fight him, but I just think she knows that there's no stopping him.
Which felt like she should have fought back a little bit more because they had a baby then.
Yeah, and I saw some fan theories we'll talk about soon about where we think if they make a Creed 3 this will go. But yeah, I think a little bit more pushback from her would have been good because she was just like, as long as you keep me in, make me part of this. Let me sing my song and then you can fight whoever you want.
She turned into Toby from Family Guy.
Because I couldn't think of her voice quick enough.
What I did appreciate about the fight scenes is that it wasn't all straight knockout stuff, just getting bopped in the head.
Yeah.
I like that it wasn't, like, even though Drago is this monster of a man with all this strength, freaking, like, the power of 10,000 suns behind his fist, it wasn't a knockout. He just beat the shit out of his ribs and broke his ribs.
Yeah.
And almost did it the second time, too. And I appreciate that because that's probably the thing that would work best.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like, go after his weakness. Like, if he has broken ribs, if he has a messed up wrist or you've messed his ear up in the previous fight, like, that's probably something that they do is they target those areas.
And I do like that Ivan Drago kept telling him, like, finish him, and then he was like, break him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people would be like, oh, he's going to finish him, he's just going to bop him in the head. But he actually broke him.
Yeah, literally broke his bones. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to see Bridget Nielsen in this movie?
I was. I haven't seen all the Rocky movies, so, like, I had no idea, like, what that was. But after, like, sort of just, you know, paying attention, I got it and understood it. And I actually... That's another part of the reason that I kind of loved the villains so much is the fact that, you know, when she shows up, you see that this Victor gets super, you know, angry and upset because, like, she ditched out on him too, not just like his dad.
Yeah.
And now it's like all of a sudden, like, this is he's not even doing it for himself. He's doing it for these people that abandoned him as opposed to.
So am I to understand that she left Drago and then got with politicians? Like, was she married to one of them or just
I don't really know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I'm not a Rocky guy. I don't know. I'm not the Rocky
Bible. I wasn't sure if she was like originally a politician or like what.
And I also didn't know that was Stallone's real ex-wife and the Flava Flav fling from those crazy VH1 shows.
Learned that all earlier. That was a wild moment for me.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it looked like, I was like, is that the girl that was banging Flava Flav in that weird show on, yep, that's her.
This is something that I sort of thought about in the theater when I was, you know, watching the final fight is I like that on Creed's side, it felt like for him, he was fighting for, you know, like the pride of his family at first to like get revenge for his dad, and then the pride for himself and his own legacy. And then they kind of, you know, shifted that against Drago's motivation, which was pride for country, you know, pride for yourself again.
Yep.
And I wish they would have done. And then at the end, obviously, it switches where it's only it turns into Drago sort of realizing, no, like we should be like fighting for ourselves, not for anyone else's approval, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of reflects, you know, Creed, what Creed is fighting for, like their own legacy. I wish that they would have done a little bit more, and this probably would have happened again if the villains were given like more time on screen to develop them a little bit more, is if they really juxtaposed it like 100% fully, where it was Creed fighting for family or pride of family, and then them fighting for like nationalism, their country, and just sort of, because I think you can actually like, that would be relevant themes into just modern day society as well. So I kind of wish they did that a little bit more. Obviously, like this is, it's a Rocky movie. It's a boxing movie. I'm not looking for like super societal kind of commentary, but I think that would have been nice, especially with the heel turn at the very end with the Dragos. I think it would have tied together a little bit nicer.
Yeah. The movie's about, what are you fighting for? Who are you fighting for? Why do you step into that ring? Why do you take those three steps? I thought they did a good enough job and they didn't really hold the audience's hands, but yeah, a little bit more time developing that. Probably would have maybe gave it an A plus for me, and a little less cringy musical pieces by Tessa Thompson. But the final heel turn, Drago throw it in the towel. I kind of saw it coming, but in that final fight scene, I was like empathizing with Drago Jr. Mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's going to be disgraced. Their poor family, like they lost everything. So really good villain is one that you can empathize with. And I was just like, I don't know who I want to win. Obviously, I want Creed to win, but you know.
I totally agree. I would love if in a third movie, if they do make a third movie, young Drago and Creed are best friends.
Yes, absolutely.
They need to be buddies.
Yeah.
Be
tag
buddies.
Team.
Yeah.
The final scene when Rocky, well, I guess this isn't final, but Rocky lets Creed go up and take the W without him. Pretty good passing of the torch moment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there's a deleted scene of Rocky and Drago fighting as old dudes?
There's not.
There is. I've seen a B-roll footage of it. They might include it in the Blu-ray. Yeah, I'll link it to you. I'll link it to you.
Oh, God.
They were just, they were going to get into like a brawl in like,
like
before the fight or something. Or maybe in the restaurant. I'll link it to you, but it looked pretty funny.
Oh,
would you have wanted to see that, or would that have been like, I don't want to see two old dudes.
No, I would not have wanted to see that. Yeah. No way. Oh, God.
What about the final scene? Milo Ventimiglia from This Is Us is the son, and he actually was the son in the 2006 Rocky Balboa movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good touch.
What I read is that in the Rocky Balboa movie, it was about him not being like a fan of Rocky coming back to fight or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was about their strife, and then like they, you know, get better or something. And then the first Creed, it's kind of just implied that he like moved away. And they're like not, you know, not that they're like completely estranged, but they're not, you know, like completely tight as a family anymore. And then this one just kind of shifted into being like, yeah, we haven't talked in 10 years.
Yeah, that's a long time for something so like, oh, your dad's going to come do what he loves again. I hate this decision. Like, he didn't bang his wife or anything. Like, you don't talk to your son for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something a lot bigger than that. But I really think they're trying to wrap him up and potentially get us ready for Creed 3, where we have to deal with his death.
Yeah, no, and I fully agree with that, especially with the whole passing of the torch kind of thing in the final.
Yeah, I think if they stopped with this one, it'd be great, but I do feel a third one coming where Creed has to go through the death of Rocky and fighting without him.
I've also seen some theories where it's kind of like, because they do dwell on Creed's hands a couple times,
and sort
of like
too.
The beating that it takes, where like they're gonna focus on, you know, him losing like his ability to fight, or not full ability to fight, but like, you know, dealing with the injuries and the trauma of fighting so much and so hard, as well as like Tessa Thompson losing her hearing and Rocky dying, and sort of how that all ties in together, just basically like a loss on.
Yeah, on top of that, the daughter might, you know, maybe she's completely deaf. Will he be able to even do sign language with her? Is he going to have to choose between his family, his daughter, and boxing? So I think we're writing Creed 3 right now. I guarantee you that's getting made.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. I mean, I don't have much else to say.
What? How could they make Creed 3's fight hyper than this? Like, where can they go from here? Or do you think they're really lean into the drama angle, maybe have him lose a couple fights, and just really just make that final fight be him fighting his want to box and choosing his family? Like, where they can't do anything hyper than this.
True. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't know how you can. This is kind of like the peak of it. So yeah. I think you do have to lean into the drama and make it more centered on like the emotional impact of him fighting,
yeah,
as opposed to who he's fighting,
yeah,
and like the sporting world aspect of it. Make it more about him, how it affects him, how it affects the characters around him. Maybe it's like he keeps fighting and his body's breaking down, and it's like his last fight, and he has to fight Drago again or something.
Yeah.
And
this time he loses, but he walks out of there, yeah, a winner because, mm-hmm, of his family. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're writing it right now.
Yep. And then we feel good because Drago, our favorite from this movie, mm-hmm, is finally on top of the world.
Yeah. By Creed 3, we're both going to be on Team Drago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm almost already there. So. Yeah, it was good. A for me.
A for you, B for me. Still recommend seeing it. It's a good movie. It's a good flick. Mm-hmm. You'll be hyped. There's going to be a lot of boxing memberships, boxing club memberships bought.
I'm thinking about learning. I think I got the frame, you know. I'm pretty strong, pretty tough.
I think if you combined both of us, we still would be like 100 pounds less than Victor Drago.
Yeah, or Creed. I mean,
yeah.
I weigh as much as Michael B. Jordan's chin in this movie. Dude's got a big chin.
Yeah, he does. All right, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you use. Like, comment, share, all that social media fun stuff. Check out GhostTrip.com for supporting, feedback, any new articles, any reading you want to get done. Check it out. And we will see you next week. Not sure what it is yet, but we'll let you know.
I don't know why I'm doing it in the voice of Peter from Family Guy, but go ahead and mix that in right now.